Might get excited, move around a little bit. All right, Hebrews 13, verse 8. Hope you have your Bible. All right, everybody got it. Say amen when you get that. Amen, amen. Amen. Very familiar passage. Verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6 basically says the same thing. God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I change not. God doesn't change. Amen? God doesn't change. And in this pandemic scare that we're going through, I was thinking about this week, that our local churches and our local church attendance has been hurt. People don't go to church like they used to. And it's part of our fault because we did what they told us we were supposed to do. You know, we tried to be good citizens, all that stuff. I'm not getting into that tonight, but a lot of that attendance has fallen off, which we can tell on Sunday night and on Sunday morning. And some have never returned. Some will never return. And some will return. And so what we have to do, we just have to restart and go on. Restart and go on. Listen, you're looking at the reset king here, buddy. I've restarted and restarted and restarted and restarted. And I figured if God put me in the race, I shouldn't get knocked down and stay down. Amen. Yeah. Or to get back up and keep going. Amen. And a lot of people are talking, you know, that there's a lot of changes going on. A lot of changes in the local church. In the local churches, a lot of changes because of the political climate, you know, and the racism stuff and all this stuff, you know. And we have Gay Pride Week and all that, you know. That a lot of people saying we've got to change with the times. We've got to make accommodations. We've got to adapt, you know. And some are even apologizing for what we believe, and some are trying to make reparation for hurting people's feelings. And so, do you know how much money I'd have if people would make reparations to me for hurting my feelings? I'd be the richest man in town. Amen. But some are saying we got to change. We got to make some changes, and we have to adapt. And I say no. No, 1,000 times no. God does not change. God didn't change his mind just because we had a virus run through. God didn't change his mind because some people paid somebody to burn up something or tear down a statue. God hasn't changed because of that. He said, I'm the same yesterday before you got here. I'm the same while you're here. And when you're gone, I'll be the same. Amen. Forever, I'm going to be the same. And some people say, well, why not change? And I like it when people ask me when people ask me questions like that. Why not change, Brother Jeffrey? Brother Ron, if your church would change and become more accommodating, modernize, and cut back on this old-fashioned religion stuff, you'd draw bigger crowds and you'd get more money and have more staff and bigger buildings. And I say, well, I don't read that anywhere in the Bible. There's nothing in there about staffs and salaries and buildings and fame and all that stuff. So turn in Hebrews chapter 13:8. He says that God does not change. Now, what does he not change about? That's what we need to know. What does God not change? What does he not change? Why does he not change? Why wouldn't he change? And so tonight, I'm going to rehash some things you already know. But I want to remind you, there are some things that he will not change about. He refuses to change, all right? Well, what does he not change about? Well, Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, plural, my words shall not pass away. Now, he doesn't mean just the thoughts or intents, and that's the way most people look at the Bible now, his thoughts or intents. But it's not the thought, it's the very word. We have a word-for-word Bible. We call it verbally inspired. That means it came straight from the mouth of God.
Amen.
We call it plenary, which means every word. Every word in this book is true. Every word is divinely preserved for us today. It always has been, it is being right now, and it yet will be in the future. Now, his record is genuine. Before we were saved, every one of us tried to cast doubt on the Word of God or His words. Amen. We tried to do it, every one of us, in order to defend ourselves. We would say, well, the Bible's just a book of stories or whatever, you know. But then we were born again and we received His words into our heart. And now we read the Bible and we don't just read black letters on white pages. We read the very words of God.
Amen.
When I read this book, I hear God speaking.
Amen.
When I got, before I was saved, the preacher would preach, you must be born again. And in my heart, in my soul, I could hear the word of God saying, He's talking to you, Ron. You're the one that needs to be saved. I could feel that draw of the Holy Spirit of God by the words of God. It wasn't that preacher's words. You couldn't talk me into religion. I didn't want it. Amen. I done seen the people made out of mess out of religion there. But the Word of God by the Spirit of God, and it would... That's where it's talking right there. Now, I could argue up here, but I couldn't argue with it down here.
Right.
And the words of God, His record is genuine. It's proved by history. It's proven by geography. It's proven by science. But most of all, it's proven by my personal experience that the Word of God is alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it'll divide asunder both soul and spirit. It'll cut the flesh from the spirit and make a division between your spirit and your flesh and convict you or convert you or comfort you. The Word of God.
Amen.
Now, God's not changing on that just because somebody wants to change the Constitution of the United States.
Right.
He's not changing His Word. Go ahead and change whatever you want to do. Make amendments. Have you ever seen, Brother Billy, an amendment in the Word of God?
No, sir.
Amendment means it's been amended. There was something wrong with it. They had to fix it. Amen. Ain't that what it means? But the Word of God, there's nothing wrong with it. It's alive. It's a live book. He says it's powerful. Look, in my younger years, I preached anywhere and everywhere they'd let me preach, and not many would, so I'd end up down at the jailhouse, the chain gang, the nursing home, the Army Reserve, places like that. And I've seen hardened sinners in the jailhouse, and I've seen hardened sinners in the military, and you read that book, and little old preacher boy didn't know up from down hardly in the book, but he could stand up and read that book and see these hardened, sin-hardened men grab hold to the back of a seat and grab and squeeze and weep and cry, and then some come to the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of me. I didn't even hardly know what I was talking about. 20-something-year-old preacher boy hadn't been saved long. I just knew he said if you'd call on him, he'd save you, and I knew that was his book. So I just stood up and read and hollered. Read and hollered. Read and hollered. I've been reading and hollering ever since. And let me tell you something. That thing there does not need any changing. It doesn't need an update, and it's more modern than today's newspaper, because that ain't nothing but propaganda anyway. This is more modern than the latest newscast on television, and you'll find not one error. It's the infallible, inerrant Word of God. We don't need to tinker with it. And besides, if you do, who do you give the authority to take out anything?
Come on now. Yeah.
Who would you trust to take one word or to change one word or one period or one comma in the inerrant Word of God? Who would we trust to do that? We're not changing the word. God's not going to change his word for this sinful, wicked society.
Amen.
And then I thought about this in the day that we're in the COVID-19 age. Boy, I hate to say that. Did you know people get saved today just like they got saved the day you got saved? God's not changing salvation or how to be saved just because current events are bad, because somebody's burning down buildings or the Chinese is shipping money over here to destroy our country. The plan of redemption, look, it will always be the same. A lot of people have tried to change it. But as simple as ABC, you must acknowledge that you are a sinner.
Amen.
Because why would you need salvation if you wasn't a sinner? Number two, you must believe that Jesus Christ was not a sinner, but the Savior, who died in the place of sinners to pay sinners' debt. I owed a debt I could not pay. Amen. But thank God Jesus Christ paid my sin debt. And so you must admit you're a sinner, then you must believe on the sinless Son of God, put it all on Him. Now, when I got saved, I didn't know nothing about virgin births. Never heard of it. I thought all Bibles were exactly the same, Sister Gargi. I thought if I opened my Bible to page 951, and you opened yours to 951, and he opened his 9, and they opened theirs to 951, they'd all be on the same page and say the same thing. I didn't know they were put out by different publishing companies. I didn't know there were different translations or perversions, we'll call it. I didn't know all that stuff. All I knew is I had a Bible, and it was the Word of God. That's all I knew. And I knew that that Bible said that I was a sinner, He was the Savior, and if I'd seek Him, He would be found.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I didn't know big words they threw around Bible college. Immutability of Christ. Immutability. Hard to spell, isn't it, for a girl from South Carolina? And immutability. And what it means is God just couldn't change. He couldn't sin. Immutability. It was impossible for God to sin. And you wouldn't believe how long that discussion went on whether or not Jesus was immutable, that he could not sin if he wanted to. It just went on and on and on. Those kind of discussions. I didn't know nothing about that kind of junk. I just saw him as the Son of God that did not sin. I never thought about whether or not he could not or would not. I just thought he did not. Amen. And so, look, I admitted I was a sinner. I turned to Christ knowing he was not a sinner, but he died in sinner's place. And I asked him to save me, because ever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I couldn't do nothing else. I knew I couldn't do anything else. I knew I could not get myself to heaven. I knew I couldn't even be that great here on earth. And so I turned to him and I put it all on him, Brother Ron, that day. And I did not understand that. And I didn't know all the scriptures, but I knew this. If I died and went to hell from that day on, it would be trust in Jesus Christ and nothing else to save. Not changing that. Well, preacher, if you'll back down a little bit, don't call them sinners. No, they're sinners. Well, say that they slipped. Well, they're going to slip right into hell if somebody doesn't warn them that they're a sinner. Amen. Look, let's don't change that. Let's go on with that. Let's go on with the Bible as the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Let's go on with the plan of redemption. You must be convicted by the Holy Ghost of your sins. You must feel sorry for your sins and turn to the Savior and call on Him. You've got to call on Him to be saved. And then let's just keep on going that He will convert every sinner that calls on Him. Why would we change that? Well, you know, we got COVID-19, we've learned so much, and we've got these professors and these scientists and these statisticians, and they're just teaching us so much, and these politicians, we didn't know they were so smart, and my goodness, look how smart they are. We didn't know this. They've been in office for 49 years, and we didn't know they were smart, and now they're so smart, and maybe we should adapt to what they're saying. No, they're going to all die and go to hell if they don't believe what Jesus said. Amen?
Amen.
I change not, he said. And I don't care about a virus. I don't care about rights or whatever else. Hey, your only right as a sinner is you get the right to call on the Savior.
Amen.
That's it. And let me tell you something, Brother Ron, he'll never have an apology for people. He's not going to apologize to you because he hurt your feelings. He's not going to go down to hell and say, I made a mistake and I just realized that I made a mistake sending all y'all to hell. So now I'm going to make reparations. I'm going to let you all go to heaven. It'll be a cold day in hell before that ever happens. That's not happening. Amen. He got nothing to apologize. See, he's God. And then we need to realize, that God still punishes sin.
Yes, he does.
God punishes sin.
Thank you, Lord.
He always has. He is doing it right now. And he will do it until Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom on planet earth. And then they'll still sin at the end of the 1,000 years. He's going to have to destroy it all, make a new heaven, new earth, because he's going to punish sin.
Amen.
I'm not apologizing for that. I'm not changing that because God doesn't change that. God deals with saints one way and he deals with sinners another way. Psalm 119, it says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? And he says, by his words. So I take the word of God and I cleanse my way by the word of God. If you will, look at John 15. John 15, look at verse 3. In John 15, 3, he says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. What shall wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. And you wouldn't know about the blood of Jesus if it wasn't for the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Christians, we have to, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But that doesn't mean we're going to get by with anything. Amen? Doesn't mean that. Hebrews 12, and I'm not going to go all into it, most of y'all already know it, but in Hebrews 12, he says that God chasteneth his sons, his children.
Amen.
You know what chastening is? You remember when you, Mama used to try to whip me and she'd grab my hand, get that switch, and I'd, she'd be chasing me around. You know why she did that? She loved me. Then when I got too big for that, she got a broom handle. A metal fly swatter. You ever had to whip with one of them? Oh, they'd have put my mama in jail. She should have given me more. I was a mean little old brat. Jerry, don't you say amen right there. Amen, amen. So, God's not changed about chastening his children. The local church, it seemed like, it looks like the local church and the people in the local churches have forgotten that God hadn't changed his mind about chastening his children.
Amen.
They just think they can do anything, get by with anything, and they can change, and they can accommodate the world, and they can become like the world, and they can become more relevant, and they can, we used to have a word for that, my old-fashioned Baptist like me, we called it modernist. Modernist. They think they can modernize the will of God, the way of God, the word of God, and they can make it more modern, and God's just going to sit up there and say, I never thought about that. Go ahead, that's real good. No, sir, God's going to beat the pants off somebody.
Amen.
Amen. God whips his children. We don't give, people say, well, y'all Baptist, you Baptists, you believe once saved, always saved. You can just live like hell and do anything you want to after you get saved. I've never met a real Baptist said that. Real Baptists are Bible believers. We read the Bible.
Yes.
Amen. And God hadn't changed about Hebrews chapter 12. We haven't either. And go ahead and modernize if you want to. But if you're a child of God, I got news for you. You go tampering with Him and you get into things and you do things and that you know God's against. Let me tell you something. He'll take your hiney out to the woodshed. Yes, He will. Amen. We'll be up the hospital visiting you. Might be that cemetery. Amen. 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 I'm going to get on that. Hang in there. You say, oh, preacher, I just don't believe that. Well, there's two things God will do to His children. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. There's two things that God will do to His children that He has not changed His mind on. Now, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I have eternal security. I'll never die. I live as long as God lives. God takes care of me. He walks with me. He talks with me. He supplies all my needs from His riches in glory. I've got a reserved seat in heaven. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Well, maybe we better start with 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. You know, keep themselves under control. Temperate. In all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. In other words, we want our full reward by controlling ourselves. But now, look at verse 27. Verse 26. I therefore so run, he's talking about the Christian race, not as uncertainly, he said, I'm not running to win, I already know I'm a winner.
Amen.
So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I'm in a battle, I know I'm in a battle. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. And you know what Paul's saying? That somewhere, sometime, God draws a line and says, all right, child, that's enough.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not using you anymore. I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm going to set you on this shelf over here and you're going to heaven. I've already promised you that. But my blessings are done on this earth for you. And then if you still don't listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you know the story. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. Here's a man, now I believe it was his stepmother. Here's a man that's taking his father's wife and he's living in an intimate relationship with this woman, physically. And Paul sent a word to him and said, you tell that man, either get right or get out. You know, sometimes the church would be good if some people just get right or get out.
Amen. Come on, bro.
And then in verse 5, he says, but if he won't get out, to deliver such a one unto Satan. Now, not to go to hell. He didn't say send him to hell. But to deliver one to such a Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, when was the last time you heard that preached on? He said, now if that man's not going to do right, and he says he's a Christian, but he keeps on, he won't take your rebukes, he won't take your correction, turn his body over to the devil. You know why? The devil will kill you. He's that roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I heard a charismatic preacher on TV, one of those name it and claim it, said, when you got saved, God pulled the devil's, the lion's teeth. So all he can do is gnaw and roar. But that's not true. Because it says here that if you turn this man over to Satan, that Satan will destroy his body. Why? So that his soul might be saved. He'll go to heaven. Now here's a man that crossed the deadline. It was done. He just crossed the deadline. Now, just because that's harsh, that sounds harsh to us. Well, we're talking about a thrice holy God. We're talking about a place where sin cannot go, heaven. And if one sin ever crept into the glories of heaven, it would contaminate it, corrupt it, and destroy it, just like one sin did mankind and all of planet Earth. God won't allow sin in heaven. So that for a believer, God hadn't changed about what He does to His children. He whips them. If they won't listen, He'll put them on a shelf. If they still won't listen, He'll just take them home early and let the devil kill them.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it says. Do you see anything about there, right there, that says that Baptists believe that we can do anything we want to and still go to heaven? I say we still go to heaven, but I don't see where we can do anything we want to, do you? Amen. All right, let's hurry. You ain't listening fast enough. God deals with sinners one of two ways. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." A lost sinner without Christ, God has not changed. You must come to Jesus Christ. That's a must. Jesus said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." He said, "I'm the door. If you're going to enter in, I'm the gate. I'm the curtain." So he said, "I'm the shepherd." Now, if you're going to go to heaven, God hadn't changed about this. He sent Jesus to seek and to save that which was lost. He wants you to be saved. For God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's him, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's seeking the sinner. This is the way he deals with sinners. He hadn't changed this. Y'all still with me? Or Psalm 9:17, I preached on it the other week, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Everybody likes John 3:16, for God so loved them. I like that. But what about John 3:18? He that believeth not is condemned already. See, God hadn't changed about that. But wait a minute, Pastor. K.O., whatever that rap singer is, he said he got saved, now he's rapping for Jesus. What? Kanye West. He's running for president. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's see how that works out. But listen. Faith in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature."
That's right.
"And all these old things pass away," he said. "And all things become new." Now, wait a minute. God still deals with sinners by calling them to the Savior. And if they come to the Savior, they'll become a new creature just like you and I did. And they'll get a new heart, new mind, new spirit, new name, new destination, new life. All these things will be new. But if they refuse to come to the Savior, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Now, that hadn't changed. Well, wait a minute, preacher. The group is getting bigger, or I'm searching for a word to say. The group that are called Christians, the body or whatever they want to call it, is being enlarged by these people on the fringes that now we're letting them come in too. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about too. We've got to make allowances, preacher. These people will never come to church if we don't make allowances. They'll never go to heaven if we don't make allowances. I can't make those allowances. God would have to change his idea of what a sinner is and what the punishment for sin should be in order to broaden our scope or make us more relevant, whatever they want to call it.
Amen.
God hadn't changed about that. And when you see a false prophet stand up with a rainbow sash around their neck and give you some long, long list of platitudes, and it just sounds so pretty and it's just so sweet and all of this, you ought to get up and run out of there as fast as you can get out of there. Amen? That is right out of the pits of hell. God has not changed. I change not, God says.
Amen.
Wow, I got 3 minutes and 1 point to go. Amen. And this ain't even the sermon I was going to preach tonight. I lost my Bible. Amen. Maybe the Lord's trying to preach. Amen. He said, "I didn't want you to preach. I'm going to start a series on the book of Psalms tonight." and go through the book of Psalms. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. God has not changed. Some things God has not changed about his book. His blood, our redemption. Chastisement of the rebellious believer. And chastisement of the unbeliever. God has not changed. Amen? And then last but not least, the promise of his return has not changed.
Amen.
I'm not watching news anymore.
Amen.
I can't even read my local paper anymore. I'm not, see, local papers usually got national, then it's got state, and then it's got local. Even it's done gone down to the local, it's corrupted. I can't read it. I just can't read it. This is more up to date than any newspaper in town.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Throw in another amen.
Amen.
More up to date than the latest newscast. Amen. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Are you there yet?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I get so excited sometimes I lose my place. First Thessalonians chapter 4. I lose my Bible. Amen. Let's just start with verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. Whoa. Whoa. Stop right there. Brethren, number one, believers, right?
Yes.
Ignorant means we don't know something and it's not our fault, right? That's ignorance. That's not stupid. You can't fix stupid. But you can fix ignorance, okay? Ignorance is something that you can't help. And you can educate yourself out of ignorance. Learn the subject. Learn the subject and you won't be ignorant. Amen? And so, he said, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Of course, the Bible asleep means they've died physically. They're not dead, but physically their body has died. It's asleep. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Oh my goodness. Preacher, you mean there's people on planet Earth who have no hope? Yeah. A lot of them. I used to be one of them. You were one. And such were some of you, he said. We were without hope and without God. Amen.
Amen.
If you're without God, you're without hope.
That's right.
You can carry all the signs you want to, burn down every building, tear down the statues, go out there and dig the bodies up and desecrate them. You do whatever you want to, but that will not give you hope in the future.
Amen.
Come on, brother. Let's do it. So that tells me there's somebody that's ignorant of this, and then there's somebody else that's without hope. And he said, I don't want you to be like that.
Amen.
You ever looked at your kid and said, I don't want you to be like that. Look at verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, now we do, don't we?
Yes. Absolutely.
Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will go into nirvana. Float around in the limbo. No. It says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now that cures a lot of ignorance right there. He's coming back. God bring with him. I'm the last of nine, and one day, I'm pretty sure most of them, I'll see him again. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Now that's where we get our faith. That's where all our faith is based. That infallible, inerrant word of God. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive. Now remember he's talking to who? Brethren. Brethren. Not unbelievers. Don't you tell unbelievers they're going to get resurrected in a rapture and go to heaven. They're not going to do it. And I don't know it. He said, we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, hinder, stop them which are asleep, those that's dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. That's another reason not to change the words. Amen. Now, did you know that God's not changed his promise of his coming back?
Amen.
He hadn't changed his promise of a resurrection. I read the other day that somebody had went out into a Confederate cemetery and dug up graves trying to desecrate these bodies. How dumb can you get? I mean, not just how devilish, but how dumb. What did they think they were going to find down there? These people were buried in wooden boxes. And you know what you're going to find? Mud. You wouldn't find no ashes. It's all just dirt because that body has disintegrated into that earth. Now, you might find some bones. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Sinners are just dumb, that's all.
Amen.
Ignorant. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. That's just ignorant. But I got news for you. Those ashes, that dust, those bones, one day Jesus is coming back in all his glory.
Amen.
And the trumpet of God's going to go, ta-da, ta-da! And we're going to hear the archangel say, come up hither! And we're out of here. And it's going to happen so fast, those in the graves who went on before us, their soul and spirit's up there with him, and they're going to come back with him, and he's going to resurrect that body. And if you go on and read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the mortal is on put on immortality. And the death is going to be swallowed up in victory. And that body is going to come up out of that grave, a glorified, immortal, eternal, never to die again, wouldn't be afraid of COVID-19 if they renamed it COVID-20, 21, 22. Well, not afraid of death, they'll never die again, and that spirit, soul, and body will be reunited together in a glorified body just like Jesus has. But wait a minute, that ain't all. Right after that happens, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we go. Whew. One of these days, if I can ever figure out, if I can find somebody that could blow a trumpet. Can you blow a trumpet? Let's do it. I'm going to get to preaching on the second coming one day when the church is full. And I'm going to give Holroyd a portable mic. And I'm going to say, now, when you hear me say such word, I want you to go, dee-dee-dee! And I'm going to have Billy and them turn out the lights back there. And I'm going to hit the deck. And then they're going to turn the lights back on. I'm going to have an extra pair of clothes that look like what I've got on. I'm going to throw them out here because your clothes ain't going. By the way, another study, but your blood ain't going either. It's corrupted. Your blood's corrupted. It can't go. And I'm going to throw a jar or something, you know, looks like blood on them clothes. Wouldn't that be good? He said you might give somebody a heart attack. Amen. I'm going to be preaching on the second coming. Or I thought about doing it like this. Go up here to the funeral home and rent a casket. And be having a funeral. And have it closed. And then do that.
I'm
going to
say it again.
And while lights out, pop it open. And put a mirror down in the bottom of it so when people come look at it, they'll see their cell.
Oh, my.
That'd be something, wouldn't it? But all kidding aside, that's not going to change just because the world's changing.
That's right.
None of that's going to change. Jesus is coming in all his power and all his might and all his glory. And God is going to take his children home. Amen?
Amen.
Go on, heathen, rage, burn, blow up, tear down, cuss, fuss, cry, holler, change the law, change the constitution. But the word of God says the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be resurrected. We're going to be raptured and then we're going to be rewarded.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's enough to make a Methodist shout, ain't it? Now, God's not changing. That breaks my heart that some preachers have changed. It really breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that churches that once were great, wonderful places are now dead. Dry, or either full of worldly stuff and they're trying to work up a spirit. I'm not changing. I'm not apologizing. I'm not backing up. I'm just going to stick to the old, old story. I'm going to stick to the old, old book. Amen. Now, you do whatever you want to and you thank God. You might think God is changing and somebody might tell you that God's changing and he may have a doctor in front of his name. But remember, Dr. Doolittle did too. And that's what they are, Dr. Doolittles. They do little and talk a lot. Amen.
Amen.
And look, I got two PhDs myself. If you don't believe it, go over to the house, I'll show them to you. They're hanging on the back of my shed. Post hole diggers. And that'll do you more good than all the rest of those put together. God changes not. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
So what we're going to do while this is going on, we're just going to keep going. What we're going to change? We ain't changing nothing. Do y'all understand what we have here? I challenge people, go visit a church. Hey, if you find one better than this, come back and tell us, we'll all go. He ain't changing, so I'm not changing.
Amen.
Now, sometimes I have to change if I get sin in my life. Sometimes I have to change. Sometimes I have to admit I was wrong and make apologies. But that'll never change.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for your word. What a blessing to be able to